Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare
I am very grateful to be in the holy abode of Sri Radha Gokulananda, in the presence of His Holiness Jagvatak Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Interjumana Swami Maharaj, and all of you. What could I speak after my two senior godbrothers? Does anyone have any idea? Everyone is silent. Jaipatak Maharaj was speaking about Bangladesh. And Indrajumana Maharaj and myself went on a pilgrimage to Bangladesh. Can I tell you one place we went? It had been our dream. His dream privately, my dream privately, for many, many years. And one day we happened to meet in Washington, D.C. We did a program together at someone's house. We were sitting on the floor taking prasad. I said, Maharaj, for years I've been dreaming of going to Bangladesh, to the place of Narottam Das Thakur, Kethuri Gram. And he said, practically since I became a devotee, I've been dreaming to go to that place. So we decided to go. It's a long story. But there's one place, right behind the temple where Narottam Das Thakur installed the deities, is a kund, or a pond of water. And that is where Janava Devi would collect the water for cooking, and where she would wash her utensils. The story is, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Prabhu, they invited all devotees from all the different places to come to Kethuri Gram for the first festival of Gaur Purnima that was ever celebrated. Narottam Das Thakur was going to install several sets of deities. I was asked by Kripa Maya Prabhu and Shruti Dharma Prabhu to speak on the subject of caring for devotees. How the devotees were cared for by their leaders. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda, very powerful acharyas, with thousands, tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of followers. Their chief disciples were put as the personal servants of the guests that came. Of course, the guests were, many of them, Lord Chaitanya's personal associates. And they themselves were personally, humbly offering service to all the guests that came. And he told his cousin brother, who was the king, Santosh Dutt, to build guest house for them, to build entire storerooms for grains, for kitchens, to cook for them. And every guest had their own personal servants to make sure everything was completely comfortable and they were completely happy and totally at ease to participate in Krishna Katha and Harinam Sankirtan. Janava Devi was the senior most acharya of the whole Gaudiya Sampradaya. She's the consort of Nityananda Prabhu. She took the role of cooking for all the devotees. She was assigning people and herself bringing the water from that little pond. They were all cutting the vegetables. She was right there, just serving the Vaishnavas, preparing huge quantities of prasad. After it was offered to the deities, this is the day after Gaur Purnima, Janava Devi personally served all the devotees. And then after all the devotees ate, she had all the people serving with her sit down, and she served the servants. And after all of those people finish to their full satisfaction, she personally served the people that helped her to serve the servants of the servants. After everybody finished everything, there were thousands, then the devotees insisted that she take something. And she took a little milk and then took rest, caring for devotees. Our greatest acharyas are teaching that there is nothing higher for us to aspire for than to be the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he and his wife would cook for devotees. He would serve the devotees, wash their clothes, carry their clothes. And Srila Prabhupada, how he cared for the devotees. Their body, minds, and their souls. Because the body is a vehicle which is meant to be a facility to serve Krishna. With our body, with our minds, we chant the holy names, we come to the classes, we hear Harikatha, we can serve Krishna, we can serve the devotees. So the body of a devotee is something very, very sacred because it's especially utilized for the service of the Lord. If we study Prabhupada's life, it's very interesting. He traveled around the world about 12 times. We have heard from Shruti Kirti Prabhu, Hari Sari Prabhu, and other devotees who were very close with Srila Prabhupada. Late at night, he would wake to translate and write purports for his books. But Srila Prabhupada told us on many occasions, I could do much better in writing my books if I could sit down in one place. And he actually wanted to do that for the purpose of his writing. But after he'd wake up, after he'd finish his translations and his chanting, What did he do all day? If you study Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada's conversations, we'll find that when he traveled all around the world 10 to 12 times, he had some meeting with the press. He had some meetings with important people, mayors, cardinals. He had some public programs in rented halls. But the vast, vast, vast majority of Prabhupada's life was just to encourage the devotees. All of his Srimad Bhagavatam classes, there were thousands every morning, was to personally inspire the devotees. His morning walks were to inspire devotees. So many meetings with his leaders, meetings with other devotees. And all that traveling. And I remember Prabhupada said about one place, I heard him say this, he said, I don't come here so often because everyone's doing so well. And Prabhupada would spend so much time every day writing letters. Because he felt the great need to give encouragement and inspiration to the devotees. He sacrificed his life to care for the Vaishnavas. And one of my godbrothers told me a story. In Prabhupada's last weeks, he was in Vrindavan. His body was emaciated. It was close to his departure. He couldn't walk. He couldn't even sit up without devotees lifting him. He was in such a condition physically. He would go to his rooftop to be in the sun. So the devotees made this like a palanquin, a chair with two poles underneath it, and they could carry Prabhupada on that. And they would have to carry him up this really thin, kind of curving staircase. And one of the devotees, young man, I think he was in his 20s, quite strong and big, he was carrying the back of the palanquin. And they were bringing Prabhupada up. And suddenly, Prabhupada felt the palanquin go like this, and he heard, ah! Prabhupada stopped the palanquin. He turned to that devotee. Something wrong? He said, no, Prabhupada, no. I think it sounded like you're in pain. Is something wrong? He said, I have a boil on my leg, and the rod of the palanquin touched it. They took Prabhupada up. And Prabhupada said, let me see. Prabhupada's sitting there in such a state that devotees couldn't even look at him. He was so weak and so sick, about to die physically. And he's saying, tell me what happened. Show me. He showed him the boil. Prabhupada looked at it very carefully. He said, get a pen and paper. Devotee got a pen and paper. He said, you should take turmeric and boil it in some ghee and add some asafoetida, and then Prabhupada told him other herbs and spices to put in it. And then he said, you put it on some cloth and you apply it to your boil, and it will soon go away. The devotee was crying. Prabhupada's in this state and he's worrying about my little boil. And every day after that, Prabhupada was checking it. He called. Is that devotee? Let me see. How was it? Does it still hurt? It's not about the boil. Prabhupada was demonstrating this to us, his heart. real service, real caring, is about sacrifice. It's about putting others' needs, others' feelings, others' encouragement and inspiration as a priority in our life. Now, we have heard about the unbelievable things Prabhupada's disciples had done all over the world. Jai Pratak Maharaj, at one time, he was just a skinny little guy. And he went to India. And these, in these Mayapur, Calcutta was very difficult for a Westerner in those days. And then Mayapur, just filled with mosquitoes and cobras and just rice paddies and nothing there. And all kinds of communal groups that are attacking with guns, who hate us, who want to destroy us. Year after year after year, Jai Pratak Maharaj sacrificed his life to serve the mission and the devotees there. Indrajumana Maharaj, his devotion is inexhaustible. While Jai Pratak Maharaj was just going village to village to village in Bangladesh, and in those days riding and in third-class trains and overcrowded buses, and then going to places with thousands and thousands of people in oppressive summer heat during the monsoons. He never stopped. Meanwhile, Indrajumana Maharaj was all day long in the streets of France, where so many people were threatening and hating, going against governments in Poland, because, not governments necessarily, but against all kinds of opposing forces, going to nations that are having revolutions and people attacking with knives. If you read his diary, you'll get a glimpse. Thousands of Prabhupada's disciples doing these things all over the world. Where did that inspiration, where did that courage, and where did that dedication come from? From seeing Prabhupada. Because he invested so much to care for us. It was that same heart that was taking care of that devotee's boil while he was on his deathbed. That was very much what we wanted to reciprocate with in whatever small way we can. When Prabhupada was there in Vrindavan, is this a note or is this just a cup of the water?
Not up, don't worry.
Usually I get notes like this. The first blank note I've had in a long time. And in a few minutes, I'm sure there'll be something written. We were saying? Yes, in Vrindavan. When Prabhupada was in that condition, he was calling the leaders. What are the devotees eating? He was very careful. He wanted to know every item on the menu that the devotees were eating for their daily prasad. And there should be this also. Why is there not halava for the devotees? Why is there not? Is it being cooked properly? Is everyone satisfied? At the time, he couldn't eat anything. He could not eat a thing. But every day he was so concerned to understand what the devotees were eating, if they were satisfied, if they were happy, if their accommodations were good. Indrajumna Maharaj quoted Lord Jesus at one point during the last night before he was arrested. He went and washed everyone's feet. And his main disciple, Peter, he said, "No, you are the master. How can I let you wash my feet?" And he said, "No, you must allow." He said, "Because I want to show, if this is the way I am serving all of you, how should you serve each other? If I am your master, I am serving you like this, then how you should serve each other." Prabhupada is our master. How he cared for the devotees. Prabhupada said he shed buckets of blood for every devotee that came to this society. So our main asset is not the properties. It's not the buildings and the properties. They are invaluable assets, no doubt. Our main asset is the devotees who are living in the temples, in their homes, wherever they may be. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught being the servant of the servant of the servant, to serve devotees is to please devotees, to enthuse devotees, to facilitate the Krishna consciousness of the devotees. Rarely does anyone leave this movement because they find a superior philosophy. But many devotees may leave the association of devotees and even active devotional service because they don't feel cared for or loved. Because that is the fundamental, essential need of every human being, of every spirit soul, to love and feel loved. And Vaishnav culture is to take that principle of the fundamental need of every living being and put it in the context by which we can achieve the ultimate perfection. If we can be instrument of Krishna's love, of Srila Prabhupada's love for each other, our society will be the happiest society in creation. We have the philosophy. We have the prasad. We have the holy name. We have the amazing, wonderful literatures. We have such an extraordinary culture. We have holy, holy places of pilgrimage. Beautiful deities. Everything is there. But if we don't feel loved, and we don't feel the means to express our love to each other, very few people will be empowered. There's nothing that empowers a devotee more than really being grateful and happy to practice Krishna consciousness. If we're happy and grateful, we want to share it with others. We want to share it with each other and with the world. If not, we may philosophically know we should, but we may not have that inspiration. And we see throughout the history of ISKCON where devotees are cared for, loved, where they feel shelter in each other, in leadership, that project grows and grows and grows. It has to grow. Because the happiness devotees feel in bhakti is contagious. So when we speak about caring for devotees, it's not just a sentimental aspect. According to this beautiful magazine, caring for devotees is one of the 8 petals, right, of congregation development. In that context, it's a petal. But I also believe it's the root that nourishes all the other petals. When devotees are happy in association, kirtans are ecstatic. Harikatha is ecstatic. If not, something else happens to us. We can't access the mercy that's coming. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, his main preaching toward the end of his pastimes was community building based on caring for devotees. And even in his last weeks, when he was also emaciated and in such an immensely painful condition, what are the devotees eating? Are the devotees comfortable? Oh, my God brother is here. And he was just so particular that the devotees were taking proper care of them and his disciples. These are the examples. Janava Devi, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, and his loving servants. So we ask, what do you mean by caring for devotees? It's very obvious. If we really care about somebody, we'll meditate, contemplate, pray, and do any amount of research to figure out what these devotees need to be sheltered and happy, to continue the rest of their lives, to be amongst the devotees, hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting the names of the Lord. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Anyone from the outside who has some piety, or even if they're sinful, but they have some sincerity, if they see a society like this, where people really care about each other, body, mind, and soul, their hearts will open up. And when we speak to them about Krishna's all-attractive, beautiful personality, they will believe us. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.